can make it, do it. Makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Happy Tuesday, Nathan Zagora and the notorious VIC Vic Carucci. It's Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. Obviously, we are 3 hours away from the Baby Hawk matching timeline deadline, as it were, at 4 p.m. We will find out if the Cincinnati Bengals are going to match the offer sheet signed by wide receiver Andrew Hawkins. And if they do not, at 4 o'clock Eastern today, he will become a member of the Cleveland Browns. I'm excited about that. I know you're excited about
Yeah.
But I don't want to get too excited because we still do have 3 hours to go. But we're obviously going to talk about that. We want to hear from you about your thoughts on Andrew Hawkins. If any of you guys got to see that awesome highlight tape that's on YouTube of him, the guy can absolutely break ankles and fly in the open field. Scott Petrak will be with us from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram. And to talk about Baby Hawk in a little bit better detail, Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com will be with us. We're also going to go with the blitz around the league, talking about the NFL hot button issues. And that will be at the top of the second hour, 2 p.m. Eastern. It's Tuesday, so we'll also do a little after further review. Notorious, a lot to get to, and I think as we wake up today, there are two big stories for the Cleveland Browns. Number one is Hawkins. The other one, reported by Pro Football Talk today, about Alex Mack.
Right.
And the headline was, with the poison pills gone, Alex Mack getting no interest whatsoever. So far, no visits, generated no interest, according to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, which is, I think, if you wanted to return to the Browns, a good thing, and it gives the Browns an opportunity to get him here for 1 year and hopefully work out a long-term deal.
Well, let me say I am optimistic about both of those stories working out well for the Browns. I'll start with Hawkins. I think we've gotten this deep into the process, and I know it's just under 3 hours left to the deadline for the Bengals to match, but I maintain high optimism that he would become a Cleveland Brown just on the basis of what I've seen reported about the structure of the contract. And I think the Browns' strategy behind how they placed this offer to Hawkins was done with the idea that they were fairly confident, or are fairly confident, he's going to end up here. So we'll see how this all unfolds, but I think it's a key addition. I think it definitely puts the Browns in a much better place on offense. Even though this is not the number two receiver they need, they also needed a number three, and a number three receiver in this offense, a good slot, dependable slot guy, which is what they had hoped they had from Devon Best last year, I think they get in Hawkins, and I think it gives Kyle Shanahan so many more options to do the things he likes to do in the passing game, the things that feed off of the running game and vice versa. And his amazing after-catch speed, the hands that he has, the way he runs his routes, and the story of this guy. This is a young, very hungry football player who has seen the modest beginnings of working in the Canadian Football League, also working here in a mini camp with the Browns, a rookie mini camp, and not getting a contract offer. I mean, it's a great backstory.
It is. It's a guy who's hungry, who finally got an opportunity, and in 2012, the season where he saw his most extensive action, he caught 51 passes for 533 yards and 4 touchdowns for the Cincinnati Bengals. The guy can absolutely play the game. After the catch, he's phenomenal, 5'7", 175, but he is tall on talent.
Yep.
Nearly 11 yards after the catch last year in an injury-shortened season. But this is a guy who can play out of the slot. When teams have to worry about Josh Gordon, when they have to worry about Jordan Cameron, when they have to worry about now Ben Tate and this number two receiver to be named later, somebody we both think is probably living on a college campus these days.
Yes.
You're going to have an opportunity for big-time production and mismatches out of Hawkins, and that's what I think Kyle Shanahan's going to be so excited about. When you look at the Browns, ideally, if they get the kind of number two receiver we expect with an early-ish pick in the draft, he's going to be the last person the defenses are worried about. When you get this guy in space one-on-one, he makes people look stupid. He makes them look foolish.
Yes.
And that's what's exciting.
Because he is almost always drawing your third corner, your opponent's third corner. And very few teams stretch that deep at that position. So you do get – the chances are you get an instant mismatch by just putting him out on the field. And then when you do other things with motioning and other creative ways of getting backs involved in the passing game, I mean, you can absolutely challenge to the very bottom of the depth of defensive backs of the opposition. I'm optimistic, too, about the Alex Mack story because, again, as deep as we are now in the free agency period, a full week into it, and he has not, by all accounts, received a single offer, a sniff from anybody else, and you sniffed right on cue there, sniff from anybody else that tells me that the deal that his agent said would be difficult for the Browns to match and would be structured that way, and he apparently would have obviously some say in that as his representative, isn't coming. I mean, yes, there is plenty of opportunity in the days and months and weeks ahead for an offer to still get to Alex Mack, and therefore the Browns would have to deal with that. But I'm sitting here right now, and if you're paying the biggest kind of money that would be discouraging to the Browns, that money would have to be on the table right now, would it not? The deal would you would think would be there by now, and it's not.
Right, and again, the team that probably had the most strong link to him initially was the Indianapolis Colts. They signed a center, Phil Costa. They have a guy, another center on the roster. So maybe, does that take them out of the running completely? No, but certainly makes it look a little bit less likely. Baltimore was going to use the money that if they didn't sign Eugene Monroe on Alex Mack. So I feel pretty good about the fact that he's going to be back here this year. The team will fight if somebody tries to put up a fight and steal him away. They're going to fight to keep him here. That's the goal. But I think if Alex Mack, you know, when people look at the free agency with him, I get it. It's been a little bit of turmoil here. You want to see what's going on. I think the Browns are very wise to keep him for this year, and I think he's going to see how different things are. I think he's going to come back. He's going to get a sense that, you know what, they are building something. As Carlos Dansby said, there's something special going on here.
Right.
And I think it will help the recruitment of him to say, listen, we let you go out there. Nobody wanted to touch you, given the level that we're at on this transition. You're back. Now let's get the long-term deal and make you a Cleveland Brown that we want and that hopefully you want.
Yeah, the pause that has kind of taken place between the time that he received that transitional tag and where they are now, I think has created ample opportunity for him to get a feel for what is happening here and how things are changing. And the signings of these past 7 days are a big part of that story, to just see how Ray Farmer and how Mike Pettine are operating. The fact that he can't have a lot of contact, any real football contact with the head coach or the coaching staff, is problematic. No, he doesn't have George Warhop here anymore as an offensive line coach. I know he was very close with him and didn't love the fact that George wasn't going to be around any longer. George is now down with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But that said, he still, I think, can buy into other parts of this program, and especially where it applies to Kyle Shanahan and the kind of offense he'll run and what the vision is for that as it applies to the offensive line in general, the center position specifically. So I think Alex Mack will have a lot of reason to like that. And here's the other thing to look at. The Browns have put out, again, a guarantee for him of more than $10 million for 1 year. That's an astronomical amount of money for a center. On a one-year deal, any single season that a guy at that position is getting that kind of money is off the charts. And at some point, the Browns are not obligated to make that offer to him. Just for the record,
no, they can pull
they
it
can
at any
pull
time.
This deal.
Say, yeah, go out there and
go out there and now do it without this tag and without the guarantee of the 1 year, knowing what the market has put out there for him so far. And now you're Alex Mack, and you have to ask yourself, do I want to make half that amount, or, you know, not even maybe three-quarters of that amount to play elsewhere and give up the chance to stick around for another year to see what this situation – I mean, there are worse things than getting paid more than $10 million to feel out what the situation is with the Browns and maybe decide then I'll commit to a longer-term deal, because that could be in the offing for him too.
I'll feel some things out for $1 million.
Yes.
$10 million.
Any of us would.
Yeah, it'd be great. It's not a bad – listen, and you know what? It's going to play out, at least it seems to be thus far – playing out the way that the Browns probably yes. hoped that it would play out.
Yes.
And that's what the designation was. That's why they decided to go this way. And that's why they decided to set it up with the transition, because it would, if somebody makes a long-term offer, they'd be able to match it. And if not, it saves them $1.5 million and gives a little bit of incentive, I think, to Alex Mack to try to negotiate and get things done to get what he wants. Now, Mike Florio speculated here that a team could say, you know, make him a one-year offer and say that, you know, basically steal him away on a one-year deal where if he was on the roster in 2015, you'd owe him $50 million or something like that. I'm not sure that would pass the league's muster. I don't know that the league, because that would be kind of another way to do a poison pill. I don't think the league will allow that. And plus, why would a team do that, take a center, overpay him, and then know that he could then run at the end of that contract? So it seems pretty good to me.
And want to clean something up. We were operating, and I had gotten this information initially from the Browns, but they have since gotten clarification from the league, and they have, specifically I'm talking about Zach Gilbert, who is the director of communications. I had spoken with him before air and was working on this 4 p.m. Eastern deadline for the Hawkins match. It is actually midnight. Midnight will be the time, and he has sent that clarification out to the media in town, just so there's no confusion, and we don't want to confuse anybody anymore. So
right.
It is not 4 p.m. Eastern today. It is midnight for that time that the Bengals have to match, and we'll see how they proceed. I still am operating with the same – that hasn't changed my confidence in this getting done, even though it's added – whatever, 8, 9, 10, 11 hours to the process or whatever we're talking about, just under 11 hours to the process as we sit here now. But I do think that you look at back to Mac, even this, seeing what they're doing with Hawkins, seeing the effort being made to bring that kind of piece aboard. You're Alex Mack. You've seen the struggles. You've been part of the struggles. Maybe that's been part of what's been discouraging you from wanting to get a long-term deal done before this tag had to be applied, before free agency began or before the tag deadline came. I think you got to see some encouragement by the moves or the efforts that are made to make this football team better. Ben Tate and now this opportunity to get Andrew Hawkins.
I couldn't agree more, and hopefully he does see this and he sees that things are changing, things are a little bit different. There certainly is more of a commitment, as we talked yesterday, more of a commitment to now than there was certainly last year, without any question. Last year seemed to be all about this year, and you know what? I'll tell you what, I'll tips my caps to the guys who say, hey, that got those last guys fired. Let's go ahead and take care of business now
right.
and also worry about the future, which is what I think the Browns are doing. And I do believe fully that if Ray Farmer was the GM last year, that we wouldn't have gotten this far with Alex Mack. And I think you're going to see a big change in the way things are handled by the Browns going forward, as we talked about, with Joe Hayden, with Jabal Sheer, Jordan Cameron, Josh Gordon in the next couple of years.
Yeah, look, it's words. It would be easy for Ray Farmer to say, I would have done it differently. Anybody can say that in a second-guessing sort of way. But I believe when he says that if he were given, if this were his show to run or had been his show to run, you don't get down the road with Mac like that. Maybe you don't even get down the road with T.J. Ward like that. He might have been proactive with certainly, if not at least with one player, Mac. And I suspect it could have been both guys, that deals, longer-term deals, would have been addressed and done. And I don't know all the particulars of how the front office, the previous front office, was handling those two players into the season. But the mere fact that you got into 2013 and deals weren't done told me that the effort was minimal at best.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't even like putting serious numbers out there to begin the conversation. If you're going to begin those conversations with extensions, with players that know they're going to hit the market and get command
you
big
get
money,
it done.
You got to put the kind of numbers that do get it done. And you could put insulting numbers out there and shut those talks down where they don't even, you know what, don't even talk to me. We'll deal with this after the year, which is another way of saying you had your chance, you screwed up.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. The other thing that's come out today, and now we can talk about it because it's directly from the NFLPA, are the contract terms on the Ben Tate deal for the Cleveland Browns. And I'll tell you what, this is a situation where the Browns, I think, did a phenomenal job in bringing in a guy who can be a superstar in this league and getting him at a very economical deal, a deal that includes bonuses for being on the active roster for a game, saying basically come in and show us. And Ben Tate knows that this is his best opportunity to become a star and hopefully get paid at the end of the deal. And I think it's a great marriage for both teams. And the reaction around the NFL is that the Browns brass did a phenomenal job in getting Ben Tate here. And Ben Tate was smart to come here because it gives him the best opportunity to blow up and really expand his profile and build his brand.
Yeah, it was. I mean, in real terms, in negotiating terms, they beat him up. But in terms of what Ben Tate wanted, which was to be here, to have the opportunity to be a key component to an offense in the NFL after being in the shadow of Arian Foster in Houston, this presented its best opportunity. So that started the talk. And as far as how the money or how the contract is structured, what that will show you, too, is there's a lot of bonus in there. We're talking about $50,000 per game reportedly here for him to be active and on the roster and available. Because the issue with Ben Tate has been health, has been injury. So the more he's out there, the more he's playing, the more money he's going to make. It made sense to put that kind of incentive-laden deal together for him, right, to encourage him as best as he can to keep his body right, to do whatever he can do. There are certain injuries I know you can suffer that you can't really say you have any control over, football being the game that it is. But I think it's when you've had that kind of history, you've got to have that kind of incentive deal in there.
And that's why it's so smart. That's why it's so smart. In my opinion, it's why it's a very smart deal, and it's a win-win. And this team has done very well. I think a lot of people wanted to see huge, massive spending. They have done what I would call very smart, conservative spending, and they've done prudent spending, and they've done it in a way that sets this team up to have money going forward. It sets this team up for this draft class to be kind of the heir apparent in many cases if they do well in the middle to late rounds of the draft for some of these guys on the shorter deals, and really positions the Browns to be better now and better in the future, which is important, and get deals like the Joe Hayden one done, yeah. Get it done comfortably, hopefully get Alex Mack done, get it done comfortably, and be one of the teams that's really flexible enough like the Patriots. One of the things the Patriots do and say is that they always want to have that money if they feel they're close enough to get that one piece. That's why they were able to get Darrell Revis. They keep that reserve for either locking up their special players or bringing in a special player when the opportunity presents itself, and that's smart football.
And they can do that because what position do they have down pat? And when you have the quarterback thing done and the investment that's there, everything else on top of that is just what you said, those key pieces that you find that you need and when you need them. 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. I want to hear from you. Want those barks and growls from the pound at Browns_daily. You tweet us that way as well. We're going to have a conversation with Scott Petrek at the bottom of the hour from the Elyria Chronicle Telegram to get his Browns thoughts as well. As Nathan mentioned, we're going to get into our Blitz segment at 2 p.m., where we're going to have three reporters from around the country hit some hot-button issues around the National Football League. And we'll get into some Andrew Hawkins talk at 2:30. Jeff Hobson from Bengals.com will give us the lowdown on that. He is Nathan. I am Vic. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, and we're driven by Liberty Ford.